Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Thursday morning. Predators assistant coach Dan Hynote will join us coming up at 7:15. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports from 8 to 8:30, talking all things NFL, and boy, do we have a lot to get into with Charles Robinson today. So looking forward to that coming up at 8 o'clock. Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots parting ways after 24 seasons. That was reported earlier this morning. There's a press conference coming up in New England at 11 a.m. So Belichick going to be out in New England, and that leads to the natural question of who will be the next head coach, and will it be Mike Vrabel in New England? We'll wait and see what happens on that front. Meanwhile, Joe, Nick Saban retiring from Alabama yesterday, seemingly out of nowhere. So they lose against Michigan in the Rose Bowl. And I don't know about you, I did not expect an announcement of Saban's retirement. I mean, he's obviously been asked about that. And his response has typically been, I love what I'm doing, and I got a lot of energy and want to keep doing it. So it was a little odd to see that happen yesterday. Certainly shocking would be a word that I would use. And now he's out at Alabama. He wins 6 national championships at Alabama, 7 total, with his one at LSU being in there. He is the greatest college football coach of all time. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I thought this year in particular, you know, I know they didn't win, but the transformation of, quite frankly, how bad they looked early in the year to what they ended up being, I thought was one of his better coaching jobs that he did this year. They're still recruiting at an incredibly high level. So, I mean, it made sense, like, that, you know, if Saban wanted to, it's not like the machine was taking a downturn. The recruiting was going well. They were back in the playoff this year. They hadn't won a national championship since the 2020 season. I think the game itself was in 2021. But, I mean, it still felt like he was performing at a high level. But he retires yesterday, and now the search is on, and the speculation is out there of trying to figure out who's going to be the next coach at Alabama. But what a career for Nick Saban.
Yeah, you know, I had thought about Saban retiring soon, but I thought maybe next year would make sense because I think Milroe, you know, if Milroe takes another step, and they're going to have a loaded roster again. And, you know, they're losing guys in the NFL. They got more guys coming up. They got 5 stars waiting. But I thought Milroe, if he takes another step, I think he's a Heisman potential guy. And maybe like that first year of the 12 team and everything, and Saban tries to go out on top. Obviously, look, he wasn't far from going out on – I mean, look, they were in control of the Michigan game. You have a fumble, Michigan with a fantastic drive, down a touchdown to force overtime. Overtime goes sideways on you. I mean, they would have beat Washington. He's very close to going out on top here. So he only has 7 natties upon retirement. Sorry, Nick. But
underachiever.
I'm surprised that right now, and maybe it's just – I don't know. I mean, it is a kind of a new era of college football next year. Hopefully it's not like something else we don't know about,
right.
you know, whatever, maybe like personal or whatever. But Vols fans should be rejoicing right now.
Wow. I've seen a lot that are.
I mean, ding dong, the witch is dead.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just like you should be absolutely rejoicing because, look, is it possible, like Ohio State is an example that what you don't want Alabama to be. Ohio State is recession proof. And if you look at the history of Ohio State, you know, basically Woody Hayes, 60s, you know, like Earl Bruce came in, they'd have a bad year or two here or there, but that's it. Like, they are recession proof. The only program that is, if you really look at the history of college football for the last half century plus, Ohio State, everybody else has had significant downturn. Oklahoma, Michigan, USC, they've all had like really bad downs. Ohio State is not. Has Saban done enough at Alabama to make them recession-proof? Maybe. I mean, you're talking about there are no kids out there who remember a world at all where Alabama isn't absolutely the top of the sport. We all remember. I mean, I know you do. Does Nick remember? No, he's not listening to us anyway. look at him. The awful stretch Alabama had before they hired Saban. I mean, they were like blue blood in name only.
I'm revisiting these Mike Price
reports.
It's rolling, baby. It's rolling, baby. Mike Price. If you don't know that story, Google that.
Yeah, Google that.
Just Google Mike Price, it's rolling, baby. Just Google that, and I'll just leave it at that, okay? That was Alabama football in 2003 or whatever it was, 2004.
Yep.
Yeah, so they were certainly not they were not immune. Tennessee, as we know, has not been immune. Has Nick Saban made them recession-proof? I think maybe. But you know what? You get that. So what happens is, if like you said, whoever comes in, the whole key is whoever comes in, it's leadership. And did they're going to come in, and they're going to probably not do as well. And so then is everybody flipping out and fire this one and right. move to the next one? Then that's how the recession happens.
Right. I mean, look, they have as many resources and the facilities and the NIL, all that stuff. I mean, they should be able to compete with everybody else, right, to win, and it's still a blue blood program, all those things. I do wonder, like, not only fan base, because, like, I think the fan base is one thing, but, like, booster-wise, administration-wise, can you exercise a little patience here? Because I think that's what it's going to require if you're Alabama. Not that they can't. I mean, look, they're going to have – I'm with you. I think they're going to lose some people in the transfer portal when it opens back up. They're still going to have a pretty good roster next year.
Well, it opens up now because of the change for
so,
them.
I think –
But, yeah, you're right, of course.
I mean, you got a chance to compete, get back in a playoff spot next year. It's expanded to 12, depending on who you hire. So, like, it's not like they can't compete next year, but I do. It's you're losing Nick Saban. So, I think it's going to require some patience. And, like you said, if you get in this cycle where it's like, well, so-and-so only won 10 games, got to get rid of him. And then you bring somebody else in, it's like, well, so-and-so only won 9 games, got to get rid of him. That's when you start to cycle through some coaches and get through a downturn. So, I think it's about patience for – the administration and the boosters and all those things.
Right. Yeah, it's like – and that's the thing, too. It's like we're talking about because Tennessee should be a competitor for a 12-team. They should be the playoff – it's going to be playoff, playoff, playoff. You're in or you're out, and that's what it is.
Yep.
And you're relevant if you're in or you're irrelevant. Alabama, it's like, we better be getting a bye every year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, playoff, of course. The worst coach you could hire, we're still in the playoff. That's how they look at it, right?
Do you think, and there's speculation on this, and I don't know. Like I have no idea why Nick Saban decided to retire. A lot of speculation yesterday of the transfer portal, NIL, expansion of the playoff, just everything that we're seeing that's changing in college sports. And the reasons we laid out of why, like, it, you know, at a, like Mike Vrabel, would he really want to go to college football and what the challenges look like with that? A lot of speculation of Saban got fed up with all that stuff and just wanted to call it quits. Again, I have no idea, but you could understand that thought process.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I mean, this stuff all happened, and all the so much was made of. Thank you, Nick Saban, for giving us that day with Jimbo Fisher, by the way. Of all the great things you did. Of all the great things you did, but let's not forget that one. You know, I mean, look at what he was very frustrated. I mean, he basically used it to, like, tell people, hey, guys, we need money in the collective. You know, of course, if he coached another 10 years and this didn't change at all, he'd still win. He'd still be better than you, right? Like, but think about just the added – I mean, I'm not playing a violin for the college coaches, but the NFL coach who picks college anymore is just about a dinosaur at this point. Like, it is – a way tougher job with all this stuff.
Joe, very quickly before we get to Dan Hynote, Lane Kiffin to Bama, your thoughts?
I don't see it. I don't think so. I'm sure he'll beat the drum and some people will be on that train. But I don't think that to me, well, let me say this. If they don't get better candidates, I guess. But to me, he's got to be down the list. I know it's early on Dan Lanning. Dan Lanning's good, man.
He is.
Dan Lanning is good. Now, if I'm Dan Lanning, I'm like, well, I got all the money in the world. Nike, you know, is my AD, basically.
Yeah.
So why? Why am I doing that?
It's a good question.
But I think Kiffin only gets a look if they're down. And then could Kiffin win there? Sure, he could. But you know what? I don't know, man. I don't think that they would maintain the same standard with him.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Dan Hynote. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Big weekend coming up for the Preds. They're back in Dallas tomorrow on the road after a huge win against the Stars last Saturday night. They'll take on Dallas tomorrow, back at home on Saturday to take on the New York Islanders. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Preds assistant coach Dan Hino. Dan, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Dan, I sent some frustration in the locker room after the game the other night and with Andrew Burnett just about the way things have gone at home lately for you guys. And I know you guys have talked about it. It's been a major point of emphasis to get off to better starts at home. And obviously that did not happen the other night against the Ducks. What are you just kind of seeing at home from you guys right now, and why do you think the starts or the consistent level of play has been an issue for you guys as of late?
Well, I think, you know, we're – and I'm not making excuses for the boys or anything like that, but, you know, we're kind of in we're a little bit of a tweener right now where we have good, solid veterans that have been in the game for a long time, won some cups, and then we got a bunch of young guys. And it's been great watching, you know, the evolution of these young guys under the tutelage of these veterans that we have here, and they've been phenomenal. But when you're young and inexperienced, your preparation isn't kind of locked in, you know. So these games at home recently, we haven't been locked in, and I don't know, you know, maybe there's distraction at home, maybe they're, you know, as young guys, and I'm not giving the older guys a pass here. I'm just saying, when you're young, you're trying to figure this all out. And I think there's more distractions at home than there are away. Away, you're just in the hotel. You got hockey to focus on. You wake up, hockey, sleep, hockey. And then you fly home. And then, you know, whatever's going on at home, potentially there could be, you know, some distractions, right? So, and I don't, you know, if I had the answer, we would have solved it a while ago.
Sure.
So I don't, you know, it's all conjecture. But I just... If you're wondering why young teams struggle at times mentally, I think a lot of it is just they haven't figured out how to compartmentalize, you know, the distractions of, and, you know, keep in mind, this is holiday season, right? You got the New Year's, you got Christmas, you got families visiting, you got aunts and uncles coming out of the woodwork looking for tickets, you know, like it's a lot for a young hockey player to juggle. And like I said, on the road, you don't have to as much. So, you know, and that's just, like I said, it's a guess. Because I wish I had the answer so we could fix it. But, you know, this is kind of the hallmark of a young team.
So from a coaching perspective, what kind of things can you guys do to try to, like, manage that and sort of, you know, cut it down if possible?
Well, all you can do is make them aware of it, you know, and continue to harp on making changes in their personal lives, right? So every time we screw this up, it's a good learning opportunity and a good opportunity for us to teach them, you know, kind of why it's important that they figure this stuff out. You know, there's, like I said, there's no clear cut answer to it. You can't just say, well, here's what you're going to do at home from now on. It's more like they have to figure it out the hard way. And sometimes that means they might miss a game, or that means they might miss a shift or a period because they just aren't prepared. And, you know, then that's kind of the way they learn. They're like, okay, well, I don't want to miss another period. I got to get my life in order here at home and start the game on time. Because no matter who you're playing, whether it's the first place team, the last place team, you spot a team in the NHL 3-rip after the first, and you're just not going to win a lot of games. So, you know, that's like I said, the learning process. You try and make them aware every time they screw it up so that they don't do it again. And hopefully, you know, it's a war of attrition where finally they just learn what not to do.
Dan, you know, obviously Gus Nyquist has been in this league for a long time, and he's been a really good player in this league. I got to be honest, though, I'm blown away with just how effective he's been on the top line with Forsberg and with O'Reilly. What have you made of, I guess, not only the way that he's played, but the consistency level at which he's done it in an elevated role that he really hasn't had over the course of the last few years of his career here?
Yeah, well, you saw it a little bit in Detroit, if you guys remember, when he was kind of the lone wolf there and,
oh, yeah,
and carried that team. I sent a couple of the boys, I ran across a clip, an old clip of him slashing Spurgeon in the face. you know, clearly on accident, but it was, you know, we used it as a joke. But he's fiery like that. That's the thing about Gus is, you know, he's this veteran. He's calm. He's got ice in his veins, but he's got some edge to him, right? And that's why he's been so successful over the course of his career is because he's very intelligent. He's a very intelligent hockey player. His computer's really good. His, like I said, the ice in his veins is impressive, you know, because I'm panicking and I'm on the bench watching what he's doing and he's, you know, he's barely breaking the sweat. So, you know, add on top of that, his leadership, his quiet work like mentality where he doesn't, you know, he doesn't want all the publicity. It's not about him. It's not, he doesn't want attention. He just wants to put his head down, go to work, win hockey games. And you can see that with his chemistry with Phil and Factor O'Reilly. So it's been great. And you know what? I was talking to my buddy Brad Larson when he coached him in Columbus. He loved him, and he's like, he's quietly one of your favorite players, if not your favorite. He's like, he's not going to be a problem. You're never going to hear about him, but quietly, he's going to become one of your safety blankets as a coach, and that's exactly what's happened here.
Dan, I know lots of ups and downs, and we've talked about them before, but where do you see things going from here for Cody Glass, and what are you guys talking with him about right now?
Well, Cody's in a little bit of a transition phase. You know, the way you look at life is you can't grow without adversity, and right now he's hitting that adversity, you know, and, you know, we talk to the boys about this all the time where, you know, your life and your hockey career is kind of like in levels, and you push, you get to a level, you plateau, and then you need something to change to get to that next level. Usually that's some sort of adversity. So that's kind of what he's going through in his world, right? He just can't find his footing right now. It's just not going in for him. It's bouncing the wrong way, which again is just making him stronger and better and faster. And, you know, once he gets through this, you know, the hockey gods will reward him with some bounces and some good luck, but you got to get through it. And so right now, you know, he's doing all the right things. He's putting his head down. He's working hard. He's a positive kid. He's a great kid. And you pull for him, you know, and it's hard right now just because that, you know, he's in the middle of it. But you also know, having gone through it a million times ourselves, that once he gets out of this, he's going to be in a better place. So I'm excited to see where he goes from here. Right now, like I said, he's in the middle of it, so it's kind of hard to tell, and I'm sure hard to live in if you're him. But you know, from an outside perspective, coaching perspective, I'm excited because I know from here he gets better.
Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote with us here on Robbie and Rexrow. Dan, last thing for you here. I thought it was just an excellent game, a back and forth game last week with you guys in Dallas. You're taking them on tomorrow on the road. What was that game like, and to get a win like that on the road, how big was that for your group, and what sort of game are you expecting tomorrow against a division rival and a team that's had a couple memorable games with you guys so far this year?
Yeah, you wish you could forget them, but some of them. But you're right, they're always memorable, and you know, we hate them, they hate us. It's always a great rivalry. And, you know, they had our number for a long time in that barn. So it was great to get to steal a win out of there. There's a little bit of a dragon we needed to slay. So I think going in, I'm excited because, you know, we go head to head with that team. We, you know, it's always last minute, it's always overtime or, you know, less than a minute to go when the game's decided. So you always know it's going to be like that. And those are why you do this sport. So, you know, both. I think it's nice because we, having slayed the dragon, guys aren't going in there tippy toeing. You know, we're not dipping our toe in. It's going to be full tilt from the puck drop, and those are the fun games because every it's like a playoff atmosphere in the sense that every little play is important because they're so dangerous. They're, you know, a top five team in the NHL, I think, and so you make one mistake, it usually ends up as a scoring chance or in the back of your net. So every little chip, every little finish check, every reload, you know, all these things are magnified in games like that. So it's great for our young guys to go through it because of that high pressure situation. You don't get it unless you have these types of games in regular season, and they don't. This is where they get their playoff experience before they get their playoff experience. So it's great. It's great all around. So we're excited.
Well, Dan, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Good luck coming up tomorrow against Dallas, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you as well. Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. Coming up next, why did the Titans fire Mike Vrabel? We'll take you through some information that's come about that Diana Russini and Joe Rexroad have put together at The Athletic that's out this morning. Bill Belichick tried to spoil it, but he couldn't do it. We'll get into that coming up next.
Saban.
This is Robbie and Rexroad.
Belichick.
102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 102.5, The Game this Saturday for Vanderbilt men's basketball. The Commodores taking on Mississippi on the road, otherwise known as Ole Miss. Pregame begins at 11:30, tip-off at 12 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app. Speaking of Vanderbilt basketball, tune in 94.9 The Fan tonight for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Commodores will be on the road taking on Kentucky. Pregame at 5:45, tip-off at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Vanderbilt women's basketball in the top 25. Joe Rexroad.
Good for them. Great story. They were absolutely – William from Madison, his best and worst, by the way, was best Vanderbilt women's basketball. Worst Vanderbilt men's basketball.
Yeah.
But Shea Ralph's team, really exciting stuff going on over there. Really exciting stuff. Got a chance to be in the NCAA tournament. That program hasn't been there a long time. She's a very good coach.
No question. We're live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game National Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. So, Joe, a piece that you and Diana Russini have come out with this morning on The Athletic, kind of going through the process that led to Mike Vrabel being dismissed by the Titans, some information that you all have gleaned on that front since then. Again, you could check that out at The Athletic. At Joe Rexroad on Twitter is where it's been tweeted, and I've just quote tweeted it at RStanleyNHL on Twitter as well. But without going through the whole thing here, just a few highlights of what you and Diana Russini have uncovered about this process and what ultimately has led to the firing of Mike Vrabel by the Titans.
So what do you think? Malik Nabers at number 7? See, this is this is an interesting spot for me, Robbie.
I know.
Okay? You know? This is okay. We're a subscription site, you know?
We are. So that's why I said we're going to go through
a
very limited amount of information.
I know, I'm messing around. But because, Jared will read it word for word later today. So
probably so. He's done that before. Where I've texted him like, hey, you want to not read everybody's articles word for word on the air?
No, but, look, there's a lot here. And here's a few things I can say. First of all, anything like this comes out and you get a lot of reaction, there's a ton of reaction going on right now, which is – that's great, even amid Bill Belichick and Nick Saban leaving their jobs. But some of the reaction, like people always – oh, so you took the ownership side of the story. Like, this story is there's nothing in here that's like one side or the other being allowed to like take a shot, if that makes sense. Like you have to verify things like this with multiple people, and a lot of people were talked to for this story. And if I could summarize it, I think differently about a lot of things. First of all, we talked about New England. New England's a part of this. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So again, speaking of Jared, he liked the word that I use. I think we use in the show, nothing burger.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't a nothing burger. Now, again, I still absolutely, as much as ever, believe that Vrabel was not trying to subtweet or send some message to the Titans or anything like that. I think he was trying to praise the Patriots. But that – how many people – Gentry Essis was someone who came up to me and said, I don't know, man. That made me raise my eyebrows. And Gentry is the one who asked Vrabel about the presser.
Yep.
Well – That left a mark. And I think the big theme with this story is, let's take it to just life in general. Relationships. Communicate. Communication. Talk about things. And to me, I blame both sides. Look, both sides of this means what? It means Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Strunk. That's what this story is. It's not Rand Carthon.
Yeah.
It's Mike Vrabel and it's Amy Adams Strunk. And the relationship broke down. And communication, I think, on both sides of it was not satisfactory. So, but actually, I'd like to hear your take on that. That, to me, is my biggest takeaway. There's a lot of details in here, and it does go back to the process of hiring Rand Carthon. But honestly, I think it goes back to the trading of A.J. Brown. I think it also goes back to the firing of John Robinson. We all wondered at the time, did Mike Vrabel pull a power play? Mike Vrabel was like, what? Seriously. So, and then the setup in this organization was what? And the setup with Mike Vrabel as coach, you're the football coach. I'm the GM, John Robinson. Right. I deal with Amy Adams Strong, John
right.
Robinson. Now all of a sudden, Mike Vrabel talks a lot more to Amy Adams Strong. When it comes down to it, I think both sides could have done a lot better job of communicating, clearing the air, and just being open and honest with each other, and they weren't, and it disintegrated.
Well, I mean, look, you talked about it. The comments from Vrabel in New England when he was talking about, you know, it's not like this everywhere else, and I've been places where it's not like this, and basically the, you know, appreciate what you got here, talking about Belichick and just the run and all those things. And I'm with you. I don't know that it was necessarily like some major shot at the Titans. But clearly ownership felt that way. So if that's the case, like you said, there's relationship 101. You know, if my wife has a problem with something that I've done, she makes no bones about it. She will tell me. If I've got a problem with something that my wife has done or my brother, or whoever, the key is addressing the problem and hopefully, you know, working to find a solution. It's weird to me that more communication did not take place here. Like, to me, if you're a member of the Titans organization, especially a high-ranking member of the Titans organization, and you were upset about what Mike Vrabel said in New England, go talk to him about it. That's what I can't figure out here, is if it bothered you so much what he said and you wondered, okay, well, where do his allegiances lie? Does he want to go be the next head coach of the New England Patriots? Does he have a problem with the way that we're doing things here in Tennessee? All those things could be valid questions, so go ask him. Like that's what I don't get about this whole thing, is how the lack of communication can allow yourself to have a relationship deteriorate to the point. And look, maybe you go approach Vrabel and he's like, you know, yeah, I want to be the next coach of the New England Patriots. And then you react and do things from there. But reading through this story here, it's basic human communication 101 that just feels like it wasn't there between the two sides.
Yeah, and again, I think with Vrabel too, you know. So it's not just Amy. Look, I feel a little, even from like 24 hours ago, I feel somewhat differently about the Amy Adams Strunk decision, just in terms of there's new information that goes back that kind of you add things together and, okay, you can see it's not just like pure reactionary out of nowhere. But, I mean, you know, like again, let's go back to Diana's story from a few weeks ago. We talked about that. That's one of those. So it was also – what's the way to term that? It was almost like that was a communication to Vrabel. This is how much I think of you.
Right.
Okay? Not just, hey, everybody, shut up, he's coming back. And so, again, to your point, it's like, just go say that then.
That's the thing.
Go like, talk about it.
Like, yeah, I hear you. Like, you're talking about not being reactionary, and I hear that, but, like, it kind of is. Like, it's reactionary to what he says in New England, and then you never talk to him about it. Like, that's mind-boggling to me.
Yes. But I guess I'm just saying, like, you know, reactionary to just results and, like,
right.
I fired Robinson. Again, the whole thing that you're saying with these firings is you fired Robinson to me. He's done his job so poorly. He's got to go right now. The roster's so bad. And so then you have to – so how a year later do you then blame the coach, like, right? Yeah. Well, there is more to it. You could say it's reactionary to different things, I suppose.
One thing I will say that I'm comfortable sharing from your article that we can debunk. I don't know what Ian Rapoport was talking about yesterday of the, hey, well, you know, Mike Vrabel met with Amy Adams Strunk and she presented him with a couple of things and then it was done at that point.
So you're getting into my next segment.
Oh, am I? Okay.
Yes.
A little setup. You'll have to wait and see what happens.
A rant purport.
I like that. That's good.
But, yeah, I mean, honestly, this was one of those things that came about. And Diana led the way on this in terms of the idea to do it, too. It's like
friend of the show.
Friend of the show. And who – Kaherski was nice, too, in asking her a question yesterday. But basically the idea of, like, there's just too much here to not write this.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot – big thing here, I think the biggest – point of reaction, I just saw Steve Lehman tweeting this too. So Ryan Cowden, I think a lot of people reacted to this a little bit misunderstanding. Ryan Cowden, yes, Vrabel worked well with Ryan Cowden, liked Ryan Cowden a lot. I will tell you that if I had to bet, I mean, I think some of these coaches can be with Vrabel. Wherever Vrabel ends up, by the way, these teams are lining up to interview Vrabel, in case you're wondering. Don't be confused by that. I would not be surprised at all if he has a say in it. If it's a, you know, if he can make it happen, if he and Ryan Cowden work together, Ryan Cowden is GM. Ryan Cowden's good enough to be a GM. Vrabel wanted him to be a GM. Ryan Cowden ran the draft board, but understand, people. Rand Carthon's hired in January. You know, you're already way into your draft preparation. This is what happens. So there's still a lot of scouts from John Robinson here now. But especially during that process, you have to let the old, basically the old personnel people run the draft, like or do all their work and continue to stay with you through the draft. Everybody knew that basically Cowden was going to be out after the draft, so he ran the board. Does not mean Ryan Cowden said, "Now you guys shut up, you're picking Levis right now." I mean, you know, Rand Carthon still was making choices, communicating with Vrabel and Amy Adams Strunk, and making the choices in the draft. Running the board is not the same thing as that.
Hey, you know who's coming to Nissan Stadium next year? The New England Patriots.
Oh, baby!
That could be fun.
Oh, my goodness.
See what happens.
Then, of course, Vrabel's just going to end up in L.A.
Yeah,
whatever.
By the way,
if you
missed it earlier this morning, Belichick has been dismissed is probably not the right word. They're parting ways after 24 seasons. Belichick and the New England Patriots. So, that press conference coming up at 11 a.m. By the way, for those expecting at the press conference later today for New England, for like Mike Vrabel to be waiting behind some curtain up there.
Morning show, Michelle.
Yeah, I don't think
Morning show, Michelle.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of texts about
that. You have to go through a process in the NFL when you hire a coach.
Bill, we appreciate you. Now get off the stage. Here's Mike Vrabel.
It's like a pro wrestling thing. Vrabel pops out from behind. Be awesome.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode, which I just ruined. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexrode.
Oh, this is so frustrating.
Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
He's kind of ugly, though.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant.
I'm going to miss you, Braves.
I am going to miss that. Man.
I know. The next coach isn't going to come in here and rip me like that or, you know, get into stuff with PK or tell Jared, you act like a man.
What are we going to do with the next coach that's, like, nice in terms of his press conference behavior? Vrabel, I'm sure, is a nice enough guy.
Can't handle it. Yeah, we got Clark Lee already. He's nice enough. We need
some spiciness.
A big-time jerk needs to be high on the list, Titans.
Well, give me a little Bill Belichick in press conference.
I see. I thought you were going to say Harbaugh. I'm here more for Harbaugh. Just absolute.
Yeah, he'll just start talking about random stuff.
I know, but that could be fun, too. All right, so I'm going to be a little petty today just because, honestly, this is part of – to me, this is part of why it's like important to kind of go back and pick through the wreckage of Mike Vrabel being fired by the Titans. So let's play this from Ian Rappaport, the NFL Network, yesterday.
Yesterday, Mike Vrabel is out as head coach of the Tennessee Titans. And I would say, based on the way this was going the last couple weeks, not totally a surprise. And Rand Carthon, the general manager, came out yesterday and talked about how good the relationship had been between him and Mike Vrabel. My understanding is that is true. This was a decision made by Amy Adams Strunk, one that she has been mulling for the last several weeks. I would say maybe the last several months, ever since Mike Vrabel went to New England, took part in the Hall of Fame Day, and all the rumors started floating about whether or not Mike Vrabel would be the Patriots coach next year, whether he'd be the Titans coach. He never really addressed that internally. I know that didn't sit great with the people there. He went into a meeting yesterday with the owner. It was not a long meeting, and he was presented with a couple different things. Did not sound like he was into it, and he is now out.
Okay. So, again, I'm being petty. And Ian Rappaport, very nice guy. I like Ian. I think he does a very good job. He works hard. And most of that was true. But then he gets at the end with was presented with a couple things. Now, look, it's a throwaway line. I know Ian Rappaport couldn't care less. There's Belichick going on right now. It's a constant. The NFL news cycle is unbelievable and it's dominant. But in this little market, I would just like to point out, that's totally freaking wrong. Presented with a couple of things. What kind of luggage would you like to have on your way out of the building? He was fired. There was no – what would that be? Again, I'm being petty, and it's just a little thing, but it's like if you're going to – everything he said up to that was exactly true, and there's a lot of it that's in what we wrote, but was presented with a couple of things. And when I hear that, I hear, oh, so they actually said, all right, Mike, you can save your job. Here's what you can do to save your job.
I think, well, people.
What would those be?
We had questions on the text line yesterday, which we could not get to because 3,000 things were going on. But questions yesterday about, well, Rappaport said he was presented with a couple of things. Do we think that means that they gave him the option to fire some members of his staff and retain his job?
There you go. There's a perfect example of where people would go with that.
Exactly.
No! No, that's not what happened. He was fired. So, again, it's like, is that just like because these things happen so often like that, he just sort of said it like, yeah, presented with a couple things, blah, 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 blah. Okay, let's move to the next thing. Or was he given bad information? I don't know. Again, am I being petty? Sure. It's a tiny little thing. But, yes, in fact, Stilly, who likes to parse things, I'm looking forward to his show today. I could see him listening to that, and that's a couple segments. And again, I'm not ripping Jared, but that's what he does. He looks at every single word because every word does matter. Like if you're going to come with this stuff, come correct. And that was just wrong. So I know I'm making a bigger deal of this than I should, but it just bothers me. Like just it's just sloppy. I mean, Karski kind of said it yesterday. It's like weak report. It's kind of like you know. Wait, was presented with a couple of things? Was he presented with a parting gift? Was it like Wheel of Fortune when you get to pick like from the consolation prizes? What were you presented with?
Mike, here's a commemorative Titans vest for you. We don't feel like you have enough of those. One more vest on the way out the door. And I brought you something from the ranch back in Houston. Here's a nice little horseshoe that you can have as well.
Picture of my pony.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my
rant. That's the other thing with Rappaport, though. It's like, presented with a couple things. Okay, Ian. So if you're going to say that, then what is it? Like, tell us what.
Well, he also said he wasn't into it. So again, was he like, actually, I hate your pony. I don't want that picture of the pony. Yeah. Thank you. Well, he wasn't into it. Again, that's exactly what you said. It's like they gave him actually an alternative or a parachute to get out of being fired. Well, he did not.
When I heard that yesterday, it kind of came off as like, it felt like malarkey and Rubisky, right? Like, you need to get rid of Rubisky, and you can keep your job.
Well, I'm not going to do that. Which isn't even necessarily true, but that's what John Robinson sold at his presser. Yes. Right. Like, I tend to agree with the idea that he wanted him out and that he wanted Mike Vrabel
the whole time
at that point. But, yeah, I mean, he was asked about that, the presser John Robinson was, and he basically said, made it seem like, yes. So, yeah, that's what you think of, right? Okay, you can save your job if you fire this guy or that guy. That's not what happened here. And so, it's a throwaway line. And, Ian, you can move on to the Patriots and the Seahawks and all the other markets you care more about. But just if you're going to come with something, come correct. This is not – it breaks news every day. You know, he's in that competition with Diana and Schefter and all the Pelissero and all that stuff. You know, like, you got to be – Accurate.
Yeah. Well, now we need suggestions on the text line of what precisely Vrabel was presented with.
That's a good idea.
In the meeting.
That's a good idea. Yeah, the picture of a pony is pretty funny, but we can do better than that. Yeah.
DJ Burnside, please make us a Wheel of Fortune, and we will love you forever.
Now, what exactly did Amy Adams Strunk present Mike Vrabel with, according to Ian Rappaport?
Mike! Get after it, text line.
Here's the key card to get you out of the door, my friend. All you got to do is scan it. The door opens right up. You can just walk right out.
Here's a commemorative, like maybe in like a Houston Oilers jersey.
Maybe so.
You know?
Be awesome. Yep. I mean, I feel like it's a good rant by you. Thanks. What'd you call it earlier? Yeah.
Rap-a-rant? Yeah, I don't know. You can do a lot of things.
Ooh, I like that
too.
One better. Rap-a-rant.
Rap-a-rant.
It's good stuff. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We got a whole lot to get into with Charles. So there's obviously the Vrabel stuff going on here with the Titans. He was fired. We're going to get his thoughts on the Rand Carthon part of this. Bill Belichick and the Patriots parting ways this morning after 24 seasons. Pete Carroll out in Seattle as well. There's a lot going on in the world of the NFL. We'll get Charles's thoughts on all of that coming up next. Make sure you're tuned in for that. Also, make sure that you tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tonight for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders are at home taking on Louisiana Tech. Pregame beginning at 7:30, tip-off at 8 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.